President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. We've got two guests tonight. In fact, if you were listening to the Insight Hour here on BBS prior to this show, I was graced with a guest appearance on the Insight Hour, and I got to run into Reverend Roxy Hampton, who I haven't seen in a tuna's age, and Dr. Len Horowitz. And we brought Dr. Len on with us. We're going to bring him up in a moment. Here we are, January the 27th, still on the West Coast, now the 28th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Time is flying. There's a lot of fear in the air, and yet we're still here to talk about it. And that's a good thing. We're going to talk about some health issues tonight. We've been talking about music, and we've got three musicians on the show tonight, and so we'll probably end up talking about music and its relationship to love and all things, really. It's the sound of God's creation. It's the sound of the universe spoken by His Word, and we are going to delve into that topic in relationship to healing, as well as talk a little bit about herbs and whatever else comes to mind. How's that? Tonight, I've got, again, my good friend Michael Anthony with us. He is a health consultant. He is an herbologist, or an herbalist, as some people say. And he's got a background in chemistry, history, and he is a very accomplished musician. Michael Anthony, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Don. Thank you, sir. Great to be with you again.
Nice to have you with us. And we've got Dr. Len Horowitz on hold here, so let's bring Dr. Len on board. The audience is very familiar with him. Dr. Len, how are you?
Hi, great, Don. Thanks so much for inviting me to join you.
Oh, I'm happy to do that, especially with everything that's going on. Where do we start? Well, we've got a lot of chaos going on in the world, and I certainly see it affecting people's minds. And although they mean well, there's a lot of confusion out there. There's a lot of disinformation going around. People are really not even aware, I think, that they're fretting as much as they are. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of illness, a lot of sickness going around. It's promoted, you know, these announcements about a pending flu pandemic get people all riled up, and they line up for their flu shots, and then they get sick, and they say, well, it's a good thing I got the flu shot because I'd really get sick. And I have the feeling that the three of us on this show tonight don't get sick, and we want to talk about that. Michael, why is it that we don't get sick?
Well, Don, I know for sure the reason why I do not get sick is simply because when you're referring to getting sick now, let's define it as a flu type of bug going around, that kind of sickness, even though I don't get any kind of illness. But I definitely don't get any type of infection no matter what I'm doing, because an infection can only set in when the environment, the internal environment, is conducive for its growth. It has to have a habitat. That habitat requires stagnation, a fair amount of pollution, and with the stagnation, there's not a whole lot of fresh air. So, just conversely, keep the digestive tract open and clean with plenty of fresh air passing through, and you don't provide the environment conducive for an infection's growth. Then the rest of being sick when it comes to like a flu is the stuffiness, the congestion. Well, that's all attributed to the congestion in the digestive tract, which is the lower part of the plumbing of our system.
Okay, so basically when a person is sick, it doesn't matter really what disease they're afflicted by. There's an imbalance. There's an unnatural balance. We know that because if it was a natural balance, there is no such thing as a natural imbalance. Let's put it that way. Yet we right. can unbalance what is natural by
easily.
Becoming unnatural.
To maintain a balance is a delicate, tricky thing to do, and it takes a knack, which I call the art of living. In the book, my first book, I'm attempting to complete this winter, and so yes, balance is everything, and it's not easy to do it because we're in a world of unbalance, but that's the trick to it all. Balance as far as simply maintaining the original condition of the body,
mm-hmm.
the way it was when we were born. It was clean, and the internal digestion tract was open.
Yes.
All we got to do is sustain that. And the natural order of the body, which is health, will easily sustain itself.
Mm-hmm. Now, Michael, I don't know if you got to hear the Insight Hour this evening. I know you were waiting to be brought online, and it's sometimes difficult to do both. However, Dr. Horowitz and I were discussing the sacred frequencies and how they apply to how God really made us. We got into the issue of the heart center and the frequencies that we have now as our international tuning standard, how metaphysically speaking they interfere with the natural functions in the body. And there's a lot of research being conducted on this. In fact, I wanted Dr. Horowitz to comment on that for a moment. You and I had an off-the-air discussion about that today, and I think we're in agreement about this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, beautiful music is beautiful music, but when you tune it to a frequency that allows it to come alive in a different way, you'll find that nature still responds to it. Nature is music.
Absolutely, Don, and I have been fortunate to hear it firsthand what is known as the music of the spheres.
Yes.
Or also the sound currents, and I have actually heard it, and it's all true, it's all real, it's stunning music. Its effects on our spiritual nature are incredible.
Yes.
And so, yes, sound is one of the fundamental components to all creation. The other component is light.
Yes.
And actually, there's three. Then there's intelligence. Intelligence, light, and sound are the three components to creation.
Okay, Dr. Lynn, welcome back to the show. Would you comment on what Michael and I have been talking about?
Well, I wholeheartedly agree, first of all, with what Michael was saying about the need for maintaining a pure body temple, and that the, you know, I found that milk, dairy products, is something that really plugs up the system. And, you know, I find that colds and flus are wonderful for people who've been on dairy products, and just it's an opportunity for them to purge using the natural expulsion mechanisms of the mucus, all the toxins and things that they shouldn't be doing. So they're getting rid of it. And that's when people get sick. And I look at everything. Cancer is the same thing. I mean, you know, as above, so below. You know, you never get sick unless there's an imbalance. And then, of course, now you, if you understand that word imbalance, you know, what's balance? Well, you know, there's a balance beam, and it goes up and it goes down just like a frequency vibration. And so really what we're looking at is men live by more than bread alone. You know, Yeshua's famous saying is so, so true. What really keeps us alive is the frequency resonance of the music of the light, the Creator's blessed music. And, you know, my grandfather was the greatest testimony to that truth. Here was a man who smoked unfiltered Camel cigarettes for over 70 years. He had the love of the Creator in his heart. He was an Orthodox Jew who prayed three times a day for 3 hours a day. Devout Orthodox Jew. and he smoked these hideous cancer sticks, and he lived to 93, and he died when my father and his brother took his beloved wife away and put her in a nursing home. He told my father, if you do this, I'm going to die, and he died 2.5 weeks later. And I was there when the doctor did the autopsy and came up from the morgue and said to my father, Mr. Horowitz, I can't imagine how your father could have lived for the last 20 years. Every bone, muscle, and organ throughout his entire body was riddled with cancer. And why he lived was because he had the Creator in his heart and his wife in a loving service rendering that, you know, on his mind and his heart all the time. And when they take that purpose of life away, and when you basically then have control over this connection to the Creator and this really heartfelt link, man, that's when you go. You know, look at all the Buddhists, look at the master monks, look at all the people that kind of like, you know, when it's time for them to go, they just go into a room, they meditate, they connect to the Creator, and they, you know, basically just leave their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what are we dealing with when we're dealing with the medical insanity and the medical deities and this false science, the pseudoscience? You know, we're dealing with something that's just totally bizarre.
Well, there's a spiritual component to this. You know, what we're talking about when we talk about sound health and whole health and a balanced immune system and living or being one with nature, which is being one with God's creations, we're talking about a frequency, a vibration. We're talking about something much deeper than that. This is really a spiritual issue, ultimately. It's the part of this reality that they're constantly trying to steer us away from. And we certainly can relate to this in terms of what we hear through the media, what we hear in terms of advertising, which is how the media makes their money. And there's sort of a glorification for the message that the advertisers delivered to us. There's idol worship. There are all these things that appeal to our ego. We are constantly bombarded with suggestions, subliminal suggestions, to see ourselves as physical beings and to hash that out in our mental body and the emotions that are created from that process create what is called the mental heart. It's the false heart. And so we don't really pay attention to our connection to the Creator, which is in our real heart. It's the source of life within our body. Our heart pumps the blood through the circulatory system, keeping every cell alive through its duty. And yet we pay so little attention to the heart. And what I'm getting at here is that this spiritual warfare is really an affront to God. It's the dichotomy of the creation. It's destructive. And so everything, like you say, it's insane. It's death, really. It leads to death. It really leads to a spiritual death, even while we're alive, if we're not careful.
Yeah.
And if we're not aware.
Yeah, that's exactly what was going on in the Garden of Eden, you know, where that reptilian alien slithers in and seduces Eve and then basically says, you won't really die if you eat of this fruit, you know, but you're absolutely right, Don. You do have this egoic death. You are shut off from your heart with this whole thing of challenge, faith, and trust in the Creator. You shut it down, and now you're basically, you know, you're under the control of that which is not godly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and isn't the tool that they use in all these different aspects that we're describing based upon one thing? Fear. God is love, and Satan is fear.
Yes.
Michael, exactly. do you want to comment on that?
Well, yes. That's how it is. God and the good angels, the Lord himself, they feed on the vibration called love. And the fallen angels feed on the vibration called fear. They have to have that for their nourishment. And that's why everything is the way it is down here, because they control this realm still, this three-dimensional realm. And so they have to have everything in fear. And so, again, we've mentioned in the past, the obvious evidence of that is just go out, observe wildlife, and watch when they eat. Are they kicking back with their feet up in the air, relaxed and with nothing else on their mind? No. They nibble, they peck, and then they lift their head up looking for something that's going to pounce on them and eat them. Just like a hawk took a pigeon earlier in my backyard when I wasn't looking. Just wild pigeons that I feed. And so that's the reality here. And so it's fear, 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 fear. That's how they have to have it. And for sure, they need to keep us distracted from our true spiritual nature so that we don't have access to the power that prevents us from being trapped in fear, number one, prevents us from getting sick, number two, prevents us from failing on our missions, because when we're physically exhausted, can't go on, the obstacles are too overwhelming. But you call on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, for help. Call on the good Lord for help. And what happens? Bam, you're up and going, even though the body was exhausted. So they don't want us to have access to all that, because we will crush them if we live that way. They won't even have a chance to subdue us. We will crush them. We'll recognize them for the evil they are and not tolerate it at all. And also, they need to have us sick, because when we're sick all the time, then our spiritual nature is distracted from itself, and we just see ourselves physically, because we're suffering, we're in pain, it's, you know, something's aching, not feeling good. And so you're very just physical then, not in tune to your spiritual nature, and so that's another reason why they are trying to keep us sick all the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I'm going to keep referring probably during the show to the Insight Hour, Dr. Len and I were talking about the 440 tuning frequency in music, and of course it represents two sets of numbers. It represents the number 8, and it represents the number 44, which is 4 times 11. It's that magic number 11, one greater than God, at least in their minds. They're worshiping a devil who they've given the name Satan to, and so we have duplicity. We have the duality in that four equations, or two times 11, which is symbolic for them. It's the beginning of one greater than God. It's beyond perfection in their mystical rituals, we'll say. Now, the number 8, and I failed to mention this on your show, Dr. Len, when you just take the number 8 and turn it 90 degrees to the left or 90 degrees to the right, you have an infinity sign. And that number attaches us to really a subconscious sort of productivity with the hope that we would become prosperous. But what do they do with our prosperity? Through their programs and their laws and their systems and their secret societies, they take it away from us, don't they? They call it a tax.
Well, let me say this, Don, if I may, quick. Actually, the way I understand this with the numbers, 11, it's a power number, 22 is a power number, 33 is a power number, they're all power numbers, 44. And so they know that. We are living in a mechanical universe. Mm-hmm. They know that. We're in a fallen nature, and it's mechanical in many ways. How obvious is that? Simple. What's the first force that drives us 24/7? Normally, it's hunger. It's definitely in the wildlife. Until the mating seasons kick in, then that's the dominant force, and they're not even hungry until they complete that task. And then they go back to the normal force that's always influencing them predominantly throughout the day, that's eating, hunger. It's a mechanical universe. And so they know that. And with respect to the number eight, Don, refers to the law of octaves. Okay? You go 7 notes on an instrument, and now you've got a new octave. 7 whole steps, octave. A whole nother level. And so they know that.
Mm-hmm.
And through their black magic practices, while they're aware of these principles, they're trying to affect the mechanical universe, interfere with it,
mm-hmm.
and influence it with their own will.
Yes. In fact, the number 8 also is the frequency of the planet Earth. Now, that's an approximation. Some say it's 7.84. Some say it's 7.89 hertz, in other words. So even that 8 is hidden within the Earth as far as the frequency. And that is binding us to the Earth for eternity as slaves, really. That's what that 440 frequency ultimately says and does, even though no one will talk about it except us. Dr. Lin.
You know, John, you have a different view on it than I do. I honor yours. I think it's very valid because that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the people who've created a 440 for the manipulation, coercion, and enslavement of humanity. But I think there's also the flip side of that. When I look at the infinity sign, and then I look at the double toroidal shape of the universe, which is a very similar figure eight, and when I go back and, you know, recall Dr. Joseph Paleo used to say, well, the alphanumeric decoding of the Illuminati's code gives us the words faith, trust, and God are all eights. You know, so I've got like this concept that sure as hell they would use down here on this, you know, sadly manipulated place called Earth. They would use the Creator's frequencies. They would use it, abuse it. They'd take everything. Like God is dog spelled backwards.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's what they do. They just, everything that they can kill and destroy and undermine, they've figured out a way to make money doing it.
Mm-hmm. And dogma backwards is M-God.
That's cool. That's fun, too.
They've got all kinds of tricks up their sleeve. But I point this out. Now, do I succumb to this? When I had the revelation of these frequencies, Dr. Horowitz, which really occurred during the harmonic convergence, it took me almost 3 years to actually really understand what I was doing. I went into a state of just perpetual composition and creativity when that convergence occurred, and didn't even realize, other than I was aware of the fact that the convergence occurred and people all over the world were paying attention to it, I didn't realize the influence it was having on me, because I was always a very serious, disciplined musician anyway, practice and writing and always creating music. But I began to formulate a new purpose. I began to look at music as a means through which to heal. And I saw no limits to how music could heal. And I started tuning into these frequencies. Not from having read anything, but I was shown these frequencies. And, of course, I had two near-death experiences which solidified what I was doing in terms of becoming aware, having the insight as to how it was done, why I was doing it, and how it would be accepted eventually. People would start doing it. So when you came out with your material, your research, and love of the real Da Vinci Code, I became extremely interested in that because I was doing that. Just by having the Creator show me this, you see.
You know, I just honor you, and I honor what you do. And, you know, it's really interesting how the Creator has blessed you from that experience to bring you with such wisdom, profoundly in-depth knowledge of the source creative technology, which is the musical mathematics. You know, you blow my mind, my brother. You're just awesome.
Well, you know, I came back with the intention of doing this, you see. And once you have that, you know yourself, you have that conviction. It's like Michael with his herbs. The Lord shows Michael how people can affect healing within their own reality. They can take responsibility for their health. They can make the decisions. And that's the crux of Michael's work. and yet he's also honoring what we're doing, aren't you, Michael?
Yes, sir, Dan. In every way, with respect to helping people maintain or restore their health, yes, I do that with great efficiency. It's quite easy, actually, no matter how serious the condition may be. Just again today, I had a guy local here, 90 years old, on dialysis. 4 weeks ago, they detected cancerous growth in his lung and wanted to operate 4 weeks later, which is this week. And he had to went in yesterday, and they opened, you know, did an exploratory before they went in for open him up, and they woke him right back up and said, "Go home. It's pretty much all gone."
Yeah, so, yeah, and you have these types of miracles happening all the time too.
It's routine. It's a miracle to them. It's routine for me, because it's routine for God, and I fortunately discovered at an early age how everything really is, and I had been very studious my whole life, and managed to put together these formulas. It's all Mother Nature doing it. I'm not doing a thing. I just know what the body's looking for, and I get it from Mother Nature, who had designed our bodies, and so therefore she also has designed our healing substances that will restore our health, and I just happen to know exactly what the body's looking for and how to put it together so that the results come about in minutes, hours, or days, or just a few weeks, in this case with cancer, rather than weeks and months and months. And so regarding the music, yes, I'm very much looking forward to hearing the music in these higher frequencies, and to quantify the difference and the effects and the impact on us and all everything here, all creation, compared to A440.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Len, Michael and I had a conversation earlier this evening, off the air, of course, where we were discussing nature in respect to these frequencies. And I know from just looking at my house plants and the plants from my garden that they respond to these frequencies even more so than they do to any music in any other frequency. 440 or any, let's say, slight modification of that frequency. And Michael brought up a valid point that it would be interesting to see the difference in plant production and growth and the...
In a closed environment, a true scientific experiment where it's a strictly closed system and all the conditions are the same for the two plants, and the only difference will be the music frequencies. The same music, everything the same, except the frequencies. And then observe what the differences are, and then you can quantify it. Then you can satisfy all science because it was done in this manner. And I'm very curious to see what is, because as we were saying, Don, at A440, when I'm playing the nice, great classics, all the beautiful stuff, my garden, everything is flourishing. The wildlife is flourishing. When I sit down and play an instrument in A440, guitar or piano, the animals, my dogs, they're right there laying down, very at peace. Outside, I get the cats come over. They're hanging out, laying down. So it's going to be interesting to see the difference, because I don't find the problem with A440 being very spiritual, mm-hmm. as long as it's really good music. I mean, there's a lot of garbage out there that I don't consider music at all, and I refuse to listen to it because it's either irritating or just negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have a spiritual effect on me. And
now,
so
now these animals, may start to party when they hear 528.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I've been heavily engaged in this aspect of discussion for the last couple of days, and because we're producing live H2O. Michael, I don't know if you know anything about live, the Concert for the Living Water. Live H2O.org would be a great reference for you. But the concept of what it is that you're talking about is true. Musicians can play with loving, heartfelt intent to do good and have the blessing happen. They can play in A440 and some of that blessing is going to come through. The animals will purr, people will like it, the plants will do okay, but if you do what our brother is asking us to do now, retune. You know, Don's talking about retuning it to 5-8. Then what happens if you add the same loving, heartfelt intent? You're going to have a tremendous increase in the blessing. Now, the work that you talked about, the research has been done. It's there was a company by the name of Biosonics many years ago that took the frequencies and the technologies and really looked at playing music that were not A440. They did sophisticated studies to find out what were the frequencies that would be best suited for plant growth. And I'm not sure what frequencies they used, but they did find exactly what you're describing. Some of the frequencies, there was a miraculous increase. And Don, I think better than anyone on the planet, you will appreciate what happened to this man. He developed a business plan, and it called for the construction of 20-acre greenhouses on the outskirts of the major metropolitan cities of the world. And he went to the World Bank, and then he went to the Rockefellers, and he went to U.S. national security people. And when I saw him doing that, I said, John, what do you got to have your head examined? You got to stop that. Don't you understand what they're doing? They're suckering you in. They were offering him millions and millions of dollars, right? And I said, wait till you get to the last meeting. I said, they're going to give you a contract to sign, and that contract is going to basically sell you down the tubes and you'll have nothing. He didn't believe me. He went to that meeting. Exactly the way I called it happened. And right now, he's in jail. He didn't want to sell. They got the tax boys after him. And I understand he's in jail for some trumped-up fraudulent charge.
And they replaced those greenhouses with Walmarts, didn't they?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Sure they did.
Yeah. Well, there's an example, another example, but there are so many people doing this around the world right now.
Yeah, and it does make sense. It makes total sense. Now, it makes me wonder, because in old China, prior to 1912, when the communists took them over, they had a multiple thousand-year dynasty. And the way it all came about, where they were able to really establish order throughout the whole country in every province, Confucius started a system where all the music in every province had to be played in the same key. And they had a Wang Chung. And this was the instrument in which the maestro, the grand maestro, was able to tune to the pitch of the season. So it was pitch, not frequency, but of course, there had to be a frequency with that pitch, and what was it? That's what I'm curious about now. And then every instrument would have to be tuned to the Wang Chung. And so then they would have, the emperor would have Confucius and all those kinds of people go through the provinces and make sure all music was played in the same key for each season. Now that's really amazing, stunning, just to know that somebody creates a device and they're able to tune it to a pitch in nature from one of the four seasons.
Now,
how do you do that?
Yeah, are you both familiar, or either one of you familiar, with the opening ceremonies for the Beijing Olympics? They had a huge number of percussionists, and they were using electronic drums that flashed lights. And so there was a lot of subliminal.
No, I didn't see it, Don, but it sounds like a lot of subliminal stuff.
Yeah, it was a mantra. It was a ritual, is what it was. And
it's probably saying Americans die in that code.
Yeah. Or make sure you go to Walmart.
No, it's Americans die. Americans die. I know that even in the 60s, when they every morning would have to do their exercises before they started their government job, And during the exercises, the mantra was, Americans die, Americans die. Now, it was in the news just a few years back that a doll for kids from China, made in Kami, China, a talking doll. Well, one of the statements came out, I hate you.
And?
And so there you have it. That's the attitude Communist China has towards us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this ceremony, and it was quite an elaborate ceremony. I would say it was at least a half an hour long, if not longer. Could have been an hour. I was watching the symbolism. I was just studying it for discerning what was coming up next, or how they were using this, what the meaning of these things were. And all of these drums, they were like drum pads, electronic pads. And all of them were obviously attached to a sound processor like you would use in a digital environment. And they were beating them with mallets, and they had, I would say, several thousand of these instruments. And they were on these long tables that crossed or spread totally across the infield of the stadium. So you can imagine how large this was. All the drummers were standing. They were all dressed the same way. And when they played their drums in unison together, the lights flashed, their outfits changed color. They were wearing, in the opening ceremonies, they were wearing like just a white silk type of shirt that was highly conducive to mirroring the light patterns that emanated from these instruments. And it was interesting to see. The crowd ate it up, of course. They didn't really see what was going on. But watching this on the television, you could see how programming it was. They were programming us.
Yeah, there was a message being relayed there.
Mm-hmm. And this was all done with low frequencies. These were all drums.
Sure.
Now, they did incorporate other types of music for comedic relief, I guess we could say. But it was a very... in a sense, even though there was all of this light and all of this celebration going on, it was almost perverse, I would say. Dr. Len, did you happen to catch the opening ceremonies?
Actually, as you've described it, you know, it reminds me of what we're planning to do for Live H2O. About 4 hours on June the 21st, Sunday, June 21st, 4 hours before we start the major prayer, which we're calling the Love Water Experiment, whereby we're joining human hearts to the universal solvent, water, using the universal language, music, using and actually co-creating with each other the universal healer, love. 4 hours before that main international prayer gets put out into the living water, there will be drumming, that drum crews all around the world, stationed at the main energy vortices, are going to be drumming in sync time and to the human heartbeat. And that is, I understand from our technical advisors, including Alex Putney, and we've got Nassim Haramein, who's an incredible physicist, a spiritual physicist, and L. Daniel and Vic Showell, who's done incredible work. I don't know if you've read his material on looking at the solfeggio within Pi, Phi, the Fibonacci series.
Yes,
he actually shows that the modern Pi and Phi is off from ancient, and the ancient resolves perfectly, and it's at its core, the original musical scale, the solfeggio, is right in there. And he's proven that mathematically now, and that and that's posted. I think you can see that on love528.com. If you go Pi, Phi, and 528 at the top menu on www.love528.com, you'll read that beautiful contribution by Vic Showell. But the drumming energy that's going to be put again, where the drummers are going to be drumming with heartfelt, loving intent to create lasting peace on earth, world health, universal prosperity, an end to starvation and poverty, and an end to dehydration. Basically, that's what's going to start the frequency wave generation to move through the earth to set up the vibration and the heartfelt loving intention that's going to then culminate in the 81-minute global prayer on Sunday, June 21st. So everyone listening, please, please join us. It'll be on liveh2o.org, and your heartfelt loving intent is going to be powerfully applied. Your participation is very important.
Now, I heard two numbers there. You use the heartbeat, which most would say the average heartbeat of a human is 72 beats per minute. 7 and 2 is 9, and is divisible by 3. You said 81 minutes. That's 8 and 1 is 9, divisible by 3. Was anyone aware of that when that was decided?
Yeah, well, you know, out of the mouths of two or more witnesses, it is, you know? And mm-hmm. So you're the second, I'm the first. You know, I made the 72 connection just the other day because, quite honestly, I haven't kept you in the discussion because I know you're so busy. But I've kept you out of the discussion. I've gone for about 2 weeks in fairly consistent communications with Jonathan Goldman and a half a dozen experts mm-hmm. in this area. And as a result of my finalization and realizations, I chose 72. Now, I didn't mention that to you. You just mentioned it to me. So basically, we're on the same page.
Yeah, you know, now that to me, and there's nothing wrong with recognizing these numbers because the mathematics belongs to God, and it's found in music, it's found in science, it's found in the creation, it's found throughout the universe, it's found in nature. We know that everything can be explained in numbers. It's the misuse of the numbers that we're talking about. The intentional misuse with the intention of controlling us, keeping us from being who we really are, which is true realization and true awareness, which leads to insight. And that is what we find within the heart. In that little communique that I sent out today, Dr. Len,
beautiful.
I spoke about the silence.
Yes, you did. And it's gorgeous. That was such a beautiful contribution. I want to see that posted in the coordinator section so that everybody can be inspired by it.
Well, I had read what was going on, and you know, I've had trouble with email over the past month and a half, almost 2 months straight. And it's getting ironed out, but all of a sudden this flood of emails started coming in, and I'm reading what's going on, and I'm saying there's a lot of head heart going on here, you know, the thought heart, and there's not a lot of heart happening, and I think we can become so analytical about this. This is a very natural process, as Michael was describing, it was sort of like I was coming to your defense in a way, but by supporting what you were saying, because I agreed with what you were saying, that people were moving into fear. And that's what happens when people are looking for the answer to that one question, why? They have to be somehow convinced in their mind, and that's not where the process occurs. Ultimately, it is a process that affects one in their heart center. And the mind can observe and go along for the ride, but the egoic mind is there to impede that, to interfere with that. Do you agree with that?
Oh, completely. And, you know, this whole concept of the heart center being in divine human communion, you know, people's feel relationships are so vitally important. And the essence of a good relationship is faith and trust in whoever you're having a relationship with. You violate that, you ain't got anything but stress and grief. And so this is the same thing, you know, the concept of giving our heart connection, link, communion, communication, community, this divine human family concept, that this brings us it to a peace and oneness whereby we don't have to worry about anything, nothing. All we have to do is give thanks for the breath that we're freely given that sustains our life in the morning, the fresh water, gee whiz, what a blessing that is, you know, quench our thirst and sustains us. And then subsequently, now we get a chance to go play joyfully, creatively, serving other people, humanity in general, and in support of divinity. That's what it's about, you know? And I think you're so right when you talk about, like, fear being the antithesis of faith, and it literally cuts you right off from this heartfelt connection to the place where miracles unfold.
Mm-hmm. I use some words like insight, and that's and if you notice, I broke those words up and hyphenated insight and inspiration. Really, the universe is a spiral. The motion of the planets is in a spiral. That's even the name of my next CD, Spirals.
That's wonderful.
And as I was thinking, these words were just flooding through me. You know, that was sort of a stream of consciousness type of communication that I just felt like my insight, there's that word again, my insight in what this discussion has been about has been almost too clinical or almost too mechanical, as Michael said. Michael was talking about the mechanical side of this. And that's so true. Looking at it, just observing it, I wasn't becoming emotional in the sense of feeling anything other than seeing what was playing out here. You know, that everyone's intention is, and there's another in word, everyone's intention was to make this a success. Yet some felt that the question, why, had not been answered, or somehow they have to have that answer for this to have any validity, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, again, quite honestly, the person whose name we will not mention that brought this issue up, you and I both know that they are a very needy, they're very, very empathic. Mm-hmm. They will suck you dry, and they're just not really getting it. You can talk for a long time. And, brother, I don't know anyone who shared caringly as much as you did with that individual. You really gave your heart. You gave a lot of time. And, gee whiz, if they're still not able to get it, then from the perspective of looking at the job that we need to do, it's a huge job, and we can't allow ourselves to be distracted. It doesn't honor who we are. It doesn't honor the Creator. It doesn't help humanity. It simply drains our energy. And so what you did in the most beautiful way. You came from love. You came from your heart. Not a bit of judgment in it. It was just a beautiful thing that I want to share with everyone that's involved in Live H2O. And folks listening, if you want to get engaged, go online again to liveh2o.org. And if you want to be a coordinator in your community of a Live H2O event, please join us, be our guest, and be our collaborators. And then you'll get to enjoy people like Don Nikoloff writing you some miraculously beautiful things.
Well, I'm glad you appreciated it. It was just my way of communicating what I see, okay, and what I hear. And I spoke about the silence. And I'd like Michael to comment on this, too, because I know Michael spends a lot of time with nature, and of course he hears the sound of nature, but I also know, just from knowing Michael as long as I've known him, and the discussions that we've had, both on the air and off the air, that he honors the silence as much as he does all the sounds. In fact, the sounds disrupt the silence, don't they, Michael?
Yes. Well, if you're talking about the unnatural sounds, yes. If the natural sounds, they're not really disrupting the silence. They are the effect of the silence. The silence itself is the power behind all things. Where all intelligence, wisdom, and power resides. But from that combination is all activity. And that's why everything, all the birds are singing. The birds are singing to that actual music of the spheres, which is generated by the power of silence, which is the Almighty Himself. The silence is that pause. It's the pause in between life's activities. And that's where we want to center ourselves so that we have that peace, that passive understanding as the Lord taught, and we discover our spiritual nature that way. But then all the singing is all about that power, even though the silence itself is where you find it. It's through the activity, though, that we get the joy. It's the joy of living is active. It's not passive. It's active, constantly productive. And that's how the Creator operates.
Now, Dr. Len, Michael just analyzed what I wrote, and he didn't even read it.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, you know, what comes to me, too, and in fact, I read this recently in a book which was written by, and I don't have the book right here, and I'm trying to remember the title, and shame on me, but it was written by Miss Judy Gray, and it's a very spiritual book that is using a sort of a metaphor in life where there is a deluge and just an upheaval of the planet coming upon a group of people. And they trust God, and they are constantly in a state of love, which we know 528 can produce, and they are constantly in a state of gratitude. How can you be loved and love and not be thankful for it? And they also show patience. They show, and I found it interesting when I read this in the book, and I'm going to get this book on my website too. I talked to Judy Gray this evening. She's going to come on the show too and talk about this. Very spiritual lady, very up with what's going on, very successful. She happens to be a nutritionist also. And she wrote this book. She was inspired to write this to get this message out about love and gratitude and patience above all things, that God does his work in his time, and we sort of always have to be in control, don't we? We have to. That's the ego aspect of ourselves, I think, is that the ego has to control us, and so we're feeling that, we're sensing that, even though we might not be consciously aware of it, we're driven by that. And these frequencies that we talk about, which also come to us in an unnatural state in the processed foods, in the GM foods that we have, where it's food that is void of light, food that is void of love, food that is void of nature. I've heard you and Dr. Bill Deagle and some others refer to it as Frankenfoods. It's like manufacturing a human being or cloning a human being from dead body parts. And when we're consuming these things, and when we're consuming thoughts that are of a negative nature, and when we're constantly put into a state of fear as to what might happen, we can't be patient. We're running from ourselves. We're running from our own, or it's not even chasing your tail, it's running from your tail, so to speak.
Well, Don, what happens there is you're failing to live virtuously, because patience is a virtue. And it's maybe perhaps the greatest of all seven virtues, because without patience, all the other virtues you may never able to acquire them. But with patience, you will definitely acquire all other six of the virtues. So patience is key to it all. It's a virtue. If you're not functioning in that mode, then you're failing your individual responsibility as a divine manifestation to live virtuously. Once you do, then everything changes for you, because now you're no longer a leaf fluttering in the wind. You're no longer a ship being tossed about on a giant ocean with no control over your sail or your direction. And so all that changes. Once you discover what you are and what you are not, everything changes. That's when the born-again process starts to come about within our spiritual being, the way the Lord taught. And so virtuous living is the key to everything. If we live virtuously, like we've covered many times in the past on, then those evil entities, those controlling forces, cannot affect us.
They can't touch us, yes. That's the same thing Miss Gray wrote in her book, too.
Is that the truth?
Yes, yes. I know that. I'm here to testify to that fact.
Right. Hey, Don?
Yes.
I'm going to bid you adieu, but before I do, I want to share with you an email that I just got from one of our listeners from the Inside Hour tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Had to do with what you've contributed to us tonight. Let me just read you this. It's beautiful. It says, "Dear Leonard, I'm having a really intensely metaphysical experience listening to your show right now. One of those moments in life where you can understand how everything you have done before has led to that moment. I have read, this is your brain on music, taken music theory and played oboe. I'm a lover of quantum physics and calculus. As mentioned before, I'm the head of developer of Speak Too Free and a contributing blogger. I know that pop music plays the same chords over and over again, which is why I prefer singing in Spanish from the depths of my soul in the tongue of my ancestors without instruments, because of the tones and the vibrations, and perform some pieces for Auntie and her friends in D.C. That's Reverend Roxy's boss.
Mm-hmm.
I asked some people during the inauguration, what is the anthem today? And there was no answer. A lot of the freedom songs were borrowed from the 60s. Tonight's conversation with Don and you and Reverend Roxy confirms that I have understood for so long, and you have given it a voice and a medium for artists, souls, such as myself. A lot of my energy had been blocked, and since I have committed to healing, my eyes and chakras have opened in beautiful ways that have manifested in my environment. There is still a lot to be done, but I feel like hearing about Live H2O was a step in right direction, and I understand all of this is helpful to my training as a musician, and from my heart, this is just now. Wow. I just haven't met people who discuss this, especially in the realm of spirituality. I get it. Rock on. My heart beams with appreciation."
Well, that's beautiful.
It sure is.
See that? So there are people that understand this, you see. And maybe it's just this conversation that we're having. We're not pontificating here. I know these two gentlemen with me on the show tonight. I know their hearts, and I know the work they're doing. And they're here because they can bless all of us if we listen. That's one of the things about the silence. It's one of the things about nature. And it's one of the things about music. If we listen, and I mean listen with awareness, listen with insight. It's great that your show is called The Insight Hour. That just hit me. perfect name. It's going to be the moment when we begin to understand and realize who we really are. We can make choices about ourselves, and we can, through those choices, take responsibility, become aware, gain insight, and realize that we were free all along, that we just bought into a whole bunch of illusion.
That's right.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, Dr. Len, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. You too, also, Michael. And
pleasure.
Let's get you back both on again soon. This was a lot of fun. We don't do this all the time. I think I've done this more with Michael as a guest. But he's been so gracious, and I'm glad that you got to meet and that we got to discuss this from our own perspectives. It seems like we're all marching along the same path, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It sure does.
Yep, the family's rising to the occasion.
That's right.
Well, I look forward to the concert and what we will experience on the way to manifesting that. And I think to follow Michael's suggestion, although you did say that the research is being or has been conducted, have any plants or any flowers, anything that's been studied in this study that you were describing, Dr. Len, have any of these plants received water that's been treated with 528?
Yes, and there's also really a lot of beautiful work. I can't remember his name right now, but if you take magnetite, if you do a search in Google, and you can find the seller of magnetite in 50-pound bags, there's a fellow who will sell you that, and he'll send you his research papers on growing plants that you bless by creating water that with the magnetite. And it's a real simple procedure that he recommends. He tells you to take coffee cans, and at the center of the coffee can, you put some rounded cardboard, you sprinkle the magnetite and build up the magnetite between the coffee can and the center circle, and then you put I think it's a 32-ounce bottle, one of those plastic bottles filled mm-hmm. with good pure water in the center of the magnetite. Because the magnetite is a tetrahedron, brother, right? It's the
yes.
double-sided tetrahedron structure, and the water molecule itself is a tetrahedron. And gee whiz, you know what Vic Showell tells us with his mathematical genius? Is that the tetrahedral structures and the pyramids, sacred geometry in Giza, is 528 based. And so it's a tetrahedral structure. And so now we're dealing with the sacred geometry of love in 528, and he has shown when he uses that water, charged that way, for his plants, his wife's garden just like totally went berserk, and he's written several papers on it. Sorry, I don't have his name right now.
Okay. Well, we can find that out and talk about that on an upcoming show.
Yep.
Yes, and even duplicate the experiment.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, we're out of time. I would love to continue this conversation for another 3 hours, but we'll probably even lose our listening audience that late into the night. So, Dr. Len, thanks for being on the show.
Pleasure. Michael, nice to meet you.
Dr. Len, pleasure all mine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. And, Don, I love you very much. We'll be in touch soon.
Okay. Thanks for having me on your show, too.
You join me anytime.
Okay.
All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
All right.
God bless.
Okay, Michael, we're going to say goodnight to our listening audience. I want to thank you for being on the show, and I want to encourage folks to visit my website, directlightproductions.com. Click on sponsors, and that will take you to Michael Anthony's private stock. There's some information there about natural herbs. You're encouraged to contact Michael. Michael consults, doesn't charge for that, and hopefully he'll steer you along the right path. With that, I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, as well as BBSRadio.com, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, the listening audience for tuning in. you all have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.